Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Scavenger's reign is over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps. That's right, it's full spoiler recaps, where we're binging a new season of a show every week and chatting about it in full spoilery detail in just one podcast. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are discussing Max's miniseries, Scavenger's Reign. And of course, as always, I'm here on this desolate, certainly not deserted, filled with horrifying monsters planet with my co-pilot, co-astronaut, I don't know what word, co-explorer, Grace Leader.
Sure, I'm here. It's me, but am I actually controlled or under the influence by something else, as most people on this show end up being? I don't know. Who knows?
I certainly hope not. For everyone out there who thought Earth was the worst planet, I've got news.
About
Vesta?
There's
competition.
Yeah.
This planet seems horrifying. Cute creatures everywhere that will and and probably want to kill you.
Yeah, control you, kill you, eat you, whatever. Yeah, something.
Yeah. Sometime. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about the entire miniseries, which was 12 episodes long, short episodes, like 25 minutes a piece. So if this is animated,
not long, but like 26. Or no, maybe I was watching because
Whoa, Grace, not an extra minute.
Also, I was watching on a service with ads, so also my time for the length of the episode also is skewed because I would look at it, but then I would forget that there were commercials. So
yeah. But if you want to watch it, it's certainly like very, very sci-fi heavy, pretty brutal, I would say, like depending on how much you can handle that sort of thing. It's all animated though, so I guess it's not, I don't know, to me it's never as bad as when it's like, you know, real life sort of stuff. But yeah, it is available on Max. Of course, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, postshowrecaps.com/full-spoiler-recaps, or go to postshowrecaps.com/subscribe to see everything we've got going on. Grace, quick thoughts on Scavenger's Reign. What'd you think?
Yeah, so I'd heard about Scavenger's Reign. I believe I heard some people talking about it on their year-end lists of things. Actually, one Josh Wiggler messaged me when I was talking to him about the top 10 list that we did here on Bush Recaps, mm-hmm. and he said, where did Scavenger's Reign rank? It's the only question he asked. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, so, you know, I don't know, something like 45 or something, you know, something like that. He's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, didn't expect it to be high, but it was this thing that, like, he had really enjoyed it, I think. I know DM Philly had watched it and got pretty invested in it as well. So I'd heard good things from people I trust, I like slow horses, like if Antonio Mazzaro is watching the show. Okay,
yeah,
I'll check it out. Because if Josh and Philly like it, then maybe I'll like it. And I am not a big animation person. I watch a few things, like I watch Bob's Burgers and, you know, a handful
Rick and Morty
of things. But I fell off Rick and Morty too. So yeah, I watched Rick and Morty, but I like kind of like let it slide, right? I'm keener to go somewhere else. I had heard this rumbling about the show being quite unique too. So all of that is preface to say, I did like it. I don't know if it exactly lived up to the hype that I had been told. Like I kind of thought that this was going to be like the most transformative thing. And I do think it's very transformative and very unique, because I think the thing this show does exceptionally well is world build in a way that it like doesn't take the shortcuts of a lot of other shows, I think, that would take with the world building of like, yeah, that's like another planet, but also basically everything is like Earth. And this show doesn't really do that. I also think to a degree, I understand why like some shows don't do that and why we take the shortcuts. It's like, it is easier to just be like, you know, just to map it onto Earth's biology mm-hmm. than to like create a whole, but the way that they create whole like biospheres and ecosystems is really cool. The other thing too is like the idea of a planet that is not just all one thing. I feel like we have this idea of like in Star Wars, like Tatooine is hot and Hoth is cold. And those are the planets.
But yeah.
Our planet is like, it is hot and cold. And
it's getting hotter by the second.
Yeah, true. So this idea that a planet has a full ecosystem, that like, that's what I think that the show, it was really, I was really impressed by. I thought that the story, when I like think back, it's not super complicated, but I feel like it took complicated ways to get there. And not that I think that that's a bad thing, but I don't know if it was, we've had shows that have not been like, we've either watched a lot or we have things you have to be fully paying attention to, which again, is not, I feel like that's such a weird complaint for someone who podcasts about TV. But like, yeah, if you miss something because you get a text on your phone, then like you miss a bunch, as opposed to other shows that are, I don't know. We're watching a lot of TV, I guess is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. Like, I mean, for this show being 12 episodes, around 25 minutes an episode, they accomplished so much, like in terms of world building, in terms of the fact that they had basically three separate storylines they're servicing all at the same time, every single episode. That's a lot. Like, that's a huge undertaking. And I do think they were quite successful in terms of, did I care about the characters? Yes. Like, which is hard when you only have if you're going to split up the 25 minutes somewhat evenly, under 10 minutes a storyline every episode to service a character, but not a ton.
Also all the world building, all the montages and like stuff that happens on the planet, like they do a lot.
They have to set up a lot, because as you said, like this is a new series. This isn't like a season two or something where they're building on an established storyline, established world, established characters. This is all new. So I thought they did a really good job with that. I'm similar to you in terms of my consumption of animated media. I don't watch a ton. Like, I've seen Avatar. Like, I've seen the heavier hitters in that category. But I would probably, like you say, I'm more likely to watch a more sitcom-y animated show, like your Bob's Burgers, like your Rick and Morty's, if you want to count that. Right. So this is kind of new ground for me as well. But I thought like the show did a really great job at being like, yeah, we're going to throw you off completely when we drop you onto Vesta, this alien planet that is so terrifying, but very interesting. And it, like you said, they didn't waste a single second of this series, because if we weren't focusing on characters, we were focusing on world building and watching this creepy crawly. And then all of a sudden it turns into a balloon and floats away. Like every single creature, it didn't feel like, okay, this is going to feel like a segue, but bear with me for a second. There's a new game that came out called like Pal World or something like that. And it is very much like a ripoff of Pokemon. Like you can basically set up a Pokemon and a creature
from Pal World. I thought you said Pal World, like you were punching, but it's Pal, P-A-L.
Yeah,
yeah. You have a little Pal. Yeah.
Pal.
Just came out. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can basically set up like, I don't know, a Bulbasaur and compare it to something from that game. And it's like, okay, we all know they like rip this off or put it through some AI generator. Right. Whereas I would say Scavenger's Reign, anytime a new creature came across the screen, it wasn't like I was immediately like, oh, that's Vesta's version of a kangaroo. It was like, no, they're all wild and weird and different. And like, this is the sort of story where I feel like truly what happened is people were like, let's get together. Let's take some mushrooms. Let's write a script. Like, and I'm saying this in a very good way. Like it is so creative and interesting that if that is your thing, if you really love world building, sci-fi, like new planets, that sort of thing, this is most assuredly your kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
it's a vibes you show. I think, because again, I don't think actually when I explain the plot, I don't think you're going to find that it's like that complex. It's the pretty basic storytelling, but it's filled with like a lot of just like stuff and the way that like they might interact with something in one episode or watch something happen or whatever is really where so much of like the vibes and being in it. And I do think that you have like a show that you're like just on mushrooms, perhaps like Michael Bublé at the NHL All-Star game. Have you heard this that Michael Bublé admitted to being on mushrooms at the NHL All-Star game? Have you heard this?
No, that's incredible.
Yeah. Check that out later. We don't know if he's was fibbing
that's
or not.
Wild.
Yeah, he said his friend was giving him a micro dose, but he thinks his friend lied and he thought he was in Blades of Glory while he was on the ice. Yeah, so
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of gist of what Scavenger's Reign is. If it's something you're thinking about checking out, I would recommend it in terms of like stuff that we've watched. If I've enjoyed it, I would recommend it. If you don't like sci-fi, this is not for you.
Yeah,
this is not for you at all. So that's
is
my
classic
warning.
Ariel and Grace recommendation of like, if you like sci-fi shows, if you like animated shows, if you like weird stuff that's not very much like what you might see on TV, you'll probably like this show. And otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, Grace, you mentioned a quick plot recap. Would you like to give us one? I know you said it's pretty straightforward, but why?
Yeah. So we have these survivors from the damaged interstellar cargo ship, the Demeter 227, and they crash land on this alien planet named Vesta. We meet sort of three groups of people, kind of. We have Cayman, who's completely alone. We have Ursula and Sam, who is sort of like an older man. He was like, I think, like the captain of the ship, very high ranking on the ship.
Yep.
And then Ursula. And then we have Ozzy and Levi being like an artificial intelligent bot. That's like, there's many types of Levi's, but this Levi is one that has landed. I should also note that like, I believe that they came through like escape pods, and they believe if they can get to the Demeter, there'll also be people who are in like cryo sleep that are also part of that. And so the whole thing is like, basically, can they survive on this planet? And things go pretty terribly first for Cayman, who falls under the spell of a creature called Hollow, who can basically control him, and also makes him have like horrible visions. There's this like black goo he like Cayman ingests. It's basically him making him have like dreams and nightmares about his wife from before, but it's basically doing the work of the monster until basically the monster like Hollow consumes Cayman, and now Cayman's like stuck inside.
Literally, he's a baby. He is bonded with a umbilical cord, like literally into his belly button.
Yeah. Sam and Ursula, I feel like it's the most disconnected from everything else, but they kind of go on the, you know, they're trying to figure it out. He's Sam's super experienced, but unfortunately, Sam gets infected by this like parasite that like embeds itself into basically right near his heart and starts like body doubling him and controlling him. And Sam basically has to sacrifice himself because he knows basically he's putting basically everybody else in danger. Anybody else that
he's
come
infected,
in contact
with,
because he is infected, and the parasite will infect them and control them, and they won't know whether he's infected or not infected. So Sam sacrifices himself so that Ursula can keep going towards the Demeter. And then you have Ozzy and Levi, unfortunately, in a confrontation with Hollow. Levi gets just absolutely obliterated, just blown.
My
just
heart broke, Grace.
Yeah. And so the other thing is Ozzy also gives a distress call, and another ship picks it up and comes there from the Demeter. They come, but unfortunately then the plan is to go to the Demeter and see if it works and if, you know, whatever. And then also use the escape shuttles from the Demeter to launch off of Vesta. Unfortunately, this group is led by this person named Chris, who kind of sucks and is like, when we get there, we're obviously not going to wake up all the people because they're just going to figure out that like this planet is uninhabitable and like they're going to want to get on the ship and we're not going to be able to do that. And Ozzy's like, no, we absolutely have to wake up all the people who are there.
Well, because Ozzy's like, hey, Mia's there and I got to crush on Mia and I got to wake up Mia.
Right. So they have this battle and fight, and there's this other guy, Barry, and Barry ultimately like chooses Ozzy, but ultimately Chris is able to like escape them, tie up Ozzy, get to the Demeter, fly off in an escape hatch. Fortunately, Levi turns into some sort of like biological creature, like bio
wunderkind.
Yeah, this like mismatch of technology and plant matter, because it's like saved, is put back together on the planet, and saves Ozzy and Ursula and frees Kamen, and Hollow is turned back into like his original form, which is like he's been like growing in strength as he's like amassing power this whole show. Then we at the end we get like this like, you know, montage. The survivors built a colony. Levi can like reproduce and make other little Levi's.
Yeah, like asexually reproduce. It's wild.
Yeah. And then at the end, the Demeter, which like has no food and nothing left and no water or anything, Chris is like dying, but another ship like docks into the ship and these masked robe figures come aboard. And there's also a little baby Levi who's there on the shuttle. So
yeah, leaving it open-ended if they did want to continue the series, which I appreciate, because it did feel like it had a finite ending, but also they could do more if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Gosh, where to start? Because we should probably take it by group maybe a little bit in terms of, maybe we should just start with Sam and Ursula, because that's kind of where the story starts in the beginning anyway. This story was interesting, especially because Sam is very obviously like the one who is, like you said, he's the commander. He's the one with the seniority. And Ursula is like, works in the horticulture lab. But between the two of them, they've seemed like, when we crash with, it's like, oh, it's obvious it's been a little bit of time since they crash landed. We know that help isn't coming out for them because of the very first scene of like, nah, they're just all dead anyway. It's fine. And they're trying to get the ship down so that they can board it and leave this horrifying place that they're in. But it was so interesting to me that like pretty much immediately they kind of knew what they were doing. Like, one of the first scenes with them is like Sam going inside of a living creature and basically getting some light bulbs. It's like, oh, need a flashlight. Let me just climb on in.
Well, I mean, in this world, like they're like doing space travel, right? So it's not like they're like completely like, oh my God, space aliens or whatever. But then they're in, Sam is so experienced and Ursula has an understanding of all like the biology of everything, that they're like the most well suited to be able to do this, but also the fact that they're the kind of the only pair, like you can argue that Ozzy has Levi, but like Levi's still a robot, and there's like, they're learning how to, you know, figure their relationship out as Levi's like, I actually don't like it when you power me off. It's like, so they're the only like people who have somebody else. I think my only thing, I kind of feel like this is, for me, probably the weakest story of them all, of the three. Not that I think it's bad. I just think it's like, that's right. And I think part of that is that Kamen and Sam's storyline, like to a degree, are almost too similar for me. And I kind of wish the show maybe had explored like a different way that Sam and Ursula could be like threatened by this thing, because you have like the Hollow like attack, like controlling and mind controlling through like bioluminescence and like then ultimately like consuming Kamen. And it is different versus like a parasite, which I actually think is the more realistic like thing. Like, I think if we found an alien planet, like the thing that we'd be so screwed by is all the bacteria that our immune system would have no way.
And I thought combat. I thought the most exciting sequences with Sam and Ursula were when, you know, he's gotten bitten and they find this woman. And let me just say, I don't often bring up this series of books because I have bad associations with it now, of course, because of the author, but Harry Potter taught me that you don't trust someone who just is silent the entire, because you're like, that's not a human. Although,
well, that's just because they'd make the worst podcaster.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. But on this when the old woman came, I was like, well, they're on a different planet. Like, maybe she doesn't speak this language they speak, which is reasonable to think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then no. It's because she's secretly like infected with this disease that she got infected by her husband. And it's this awful, awful creature. And she puts her tiny little seed into Sam. Yeah. And it's awful. And but I thought it was so fascinating. But I will say, Grace, there is something that is still on my mind from like episode one between Sam and Ursula that I still don't quite understand, because when they end up in like this hole, they end up in like this pit. Yes. And suddenly they get infected with this thing and they use these like creatures and they're going to basically air balloon out of the hole. Right.
Yes.
And Ursula is struggling to get hers working because her creature mask has fallen off and she can't breathe the air because it's bad. Yes. Or whatever. It's polluted. Yes. She starts turning. She starts like switching into this thing. Like, she gets all these scabs or, you know, abrasions.
Uh-huh.
And then we're up there with Sam. And then suddenly she flies up with the creature. Now, entire time, Grace.
You were sure that this is not Ursula. This is
sure. Wow. I was so certain. I was like, when's it going to happen? When is she going to kill Sam? And then, of course, they double flip Uno reverse it on me and Sam gets infected. And Ursula ends up making it to the end with I did love the moment between Ursula and Ozzy where they hug and everything. But yeah, am I the only one who thought that? Because whenever they don't show you something is when I'm the most suspicious.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think it flashed. I was like, she's actually fine. She's fine. So
it was very just good like call. So quick where I was like, ooh, they've infected her.
Yeah, no, it's very good call. Maybe in a season two, you find out, like, maybe it's a seed that's been planted since season one. I did think that, like,
it's true, I guess,
when Sam had, when his like chest is like disgustingly, like he has a cavity and they like open it up and the little parasite, and I was like, that's so good. It's so good. I just really liked that. I like the way that Sam was infected more than I liked the way Cayman was infected. But I think that I still liked the Cayman stuff, but like then what happens as a result of it? I liked the stuff with Cayman. I thought it was way more interesting than the stuff with Sam, and Ursula.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But one of the things with like Ursula, really one of my favorite scenes, which we get to later, is like when she's going through the like wall. I think the episode is called The Wall, and she finds this like thing that like she puts the light to and it opens up and it does this whole thing. That's the kind of stuff that I feel like for me, I think it's really hard to make creatures. I've talked about this with like Avatar, where I feel like Avatar is always like, oh yeah, but that's just like, that's the space whale. That's that thing. And I think it's really hard for us to be like, well, you wouldn't have a, you probably don't have a creature who swims who doesn't have like a tail, right? Or like webbed feet.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's just like, even there's animals in this one that are like kind of like rhinoceros-y like things, and they're like underground. It's like, of course their shells are going to be hard, because if you live in a cave, like you're not going to have soft skin in case like something falls on you or whatever. So like, it's like really easy to fall into the trope. Or when it got like really weird, like bacteria level ish, and like this was when that small little like frog thing gets like opened up, and then it like, I don't even remember what it does, but I'm just like, this is so cool. This is the best.
Yeah. I thought that the positive points, the strong points of the Sam and Ursula storyline were the fact that Sam, who is the commander, who is the one in charge, who is older, has seniority, on and on and on, learns a lot from Ursula. Like her being the botanist, she has like more of a connection to the plants and understanding of them and how they operate more than he does. And I feel like maybe the weaker stuff is if they had a little bit more time, if they didn't have so many storylines to service in a short, you know, runtime and number of episodes, maybe I would have felt their connection a little bit more, because it was sad, right? Like when Sam sacrifices himself and leaves by this ginormous, gorgeous mushroom tree. I just, mwah, just beautiful. When he sacrifices
Jess, don't
himself,
kiss that mushroom tree. You're going to
Oh, man. Oh, parasites. No, I'm fungus. At least I'm a fungi. But I do think like if they had a little more time, I would have probably thought the relationship building between the two characters would have been a bit stronger. Mm-hmm. I ultimately left really liking Ursula. However, I think when we're talking duos, I felt like Ozzy and Levi was a stronger duo. And now probably not in, you know, in large part due to the fact that I fell in love with Levi instantly, 2 seconds into the show. And I was like, Levi is the best. Levi is trying to help, doing the best that they can. They're a robot. But at the same point in time, they got plant goo all up in them, and it seems to be connecting them with nature in a way that Ozzy is both not expecting and doesn't really like. Because Ozzy, Grace, I can't wait to hear your opinions on Ozzy, because Ozzy is certainly one of those characters like so rough around the edges, like immediately, right? Like very tough on Levi, very no nonsense. Like, this is the job. We got to get back to the ship. Like, we could die here. Like, pay attention. Listen to me. Follow my orders. Don't. Why are you staring at that plant for 10 minutes? That's unnecessary. Yeah. But I loved the relationship building between the two of them, and to have like Levi come back in the end and save Ozzy, and like that connection, for that connection to be there, and for Ozzy to grieve over the loss of Levi, I absolutely adored. Like, I thought it made a lot of sense. And even though we had a very short amount of time to get to know these characters, it felt very genuine and real to me.
Can I give you my hot take?
Yes, please.
AI doesn't really work for me. The AI robot doesn't really,
But it's like Wall-E though, Grace. She just wants to, they just want to clean up the little planet and just make all the little cute little sanctuaries for the plants and the plant creatures.
Like, it's funny, like Westworld, like it can work. I find it so hard for it to work on me. I'm way keener for like a little sidekick companion than I am with an AI robot. I don't know. It's just, you know what? I was, I can't remember what this was on, but I remember someone being like, there's a few of them who, and you would be the same, but I feel have taken this a different way. But like so much of the AI content we got, like I feel like I got as a kid was like, AI is really bad. It's going to turn on us. It's going to kill us. Oh. Like, we don't be careful. And so,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I think I'm in the like, no, don't trust that. Don't trust.
Because it was always like us versus the robots, like in every movie, every piece of media. It was always they will overtake us
because we mistreat them, which is like often the moral of the thing. But like we mistreat them and then because like we're awful just as a species. And then they'll be like, that's bad. And then they'll take over and they'll probably.
But
be
I
nice
just
to
like
each other.
The idea of technology being infused with plant life and like an ecosystem. And then turning that, and like I just loved the moments where Levi was just looking at the world around them, because for us and a lot of the characters, this is so dangerous. Like Vesta is a horrifying planet and like super dangerous, but I felt like Levi saw the beauty in it. And so like being able to see that through Levi's eyes, I really, really liked.
Levi doesn't have any eyes, but because they're a robot. It just, I don't know. I think I'm like having an epiphany that like give me an R2-D2. That's fine. I'll take R2-D2.
Yeah, you got to have the beep, boop, beep, boop.
There's a few of them that'll work for me. But like, I think overall I'm more against it than I am for it. And I feel like a little like fuzzy companion I would have been more cool with, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I honestly think the scene where the little fuzzy things are attaching to both of them.
Yes.
And Ozzy like turns off Levi and then turns Levi on, like needs to turn Levi on to basically to be able her, to like yeah. To like live basically. And I just love the scene where Levi's like, so like I'm just realizing I really don't like it when you put me in total darkness and silence, and I just need you to like just if you could not do that, that'd be great. And I was like, that's what I think is terrifying of like the I know it's like comes off creepy, but it's like the idea of like, please never turn me off. It's like, you're a robot. You can be turned off. It's fine. You can be turned off. You don't
have human emotions, Grace.
But do they actually though? Like, is they like?
That's the plant matter. Actually... It was the plant matter.
Oh, now it is. There is something I think cool at that moment though, right? Like at the moment where they got turned off because it's the same stuff that like attaches them that starts to like rebuild, right? Or the yellow goo.
Yeah, it's the yellow goo. It's the yellow goo. Yeah. But then, okay. So tell me about your thoughts on Ozzy as a character though.
Love Ozzy. Yeah.
I think that Ozzy is a character that I often get very frustrated with in media being so rough around the edges and being like, frankly, rude to like a lot of people. I don't necessarily always have patience for those types of characters because I'm like, what gives you the right to be like rude to everyone else? Like everyone has been through stuff. It doesn't mean you need to be a total a-hole to people. But of course I came around on Ozzy by the end.
You and I are D&D players, and I do feel like there's sometimes the Ozzy character is like, you can tell in a group when like someone tries out like an Ozzy type character as their first D&D character.
Yes.
And I just like don't move, like even in my wildest fantasy, I'm not looking to like be mean to the, you know, the bartender or whatever. And so, but for some people they like want, you know, they want to like pickpocket everybody, and it typically they'll play a rogue. This is why I'm saying it. And like just want, and like the idea as a DM that I always get frustrated by is like when the players are so sure that everything they do is right and everything everybody else does is bad. And so if they do something, if an NPC does something that doesn't the party doesn't like, then that person is automatically evil and bad. And it's like, I hate that. There's like no nuance. And sometimes like an Ozzy type character, like very much fits that mold, but I liked Ozzy right from the get go, I think. So yeah, I liked Ozzy as a character.
Yeah. I thought once we get introduced to like, I felt like Ozzy, once Ozzy met Chris, who was the leader of basically what I called the Firefly group, who are just like a bunch of scavengers, basically space cowboys. Yep. When they get introduced to Chris felt a lot like Ozzy. Like it was a lot like looking at a mirror, but like Ozzy, like this is what your future could be, Ozzy, if you continue on this path.
Yeah.
And Chris is rude. Chris is awful. Like very, not very kind to Barry, who is obviously just like, I think he's supposed to be like a teenager.
Yeah, he's pretty young. Yeah.
And he's just like, he's a kid. And the fact that there's like no processing time, no grieving time for when Terrence dies for Barry and for anybody else felt really awful. And so I felt like when comparing Ozzy to Chris, I was like, oh, give me Ozzy all day, you know?
I liked once we meet the people that the distress call, and I like that it's like a very, I think I really like when shows have conflict where you can kind of talk yourself into both people are right. Like Chris being like, if we wake everybody up, like it might be safer for them not to be woken up. Like, it just could be true. And then Ozzy's thing is like, that's like not great. They don't like, they should be woken up. They have full, they should have full yeah. consent to like be woken up and make a decision or a choice. But I think if they get woken up, then they can't be put back in cryosleep. So like, I like a decision that like doesn't feel like it has like a clear answer and then conflict that comes out of that. I very much feel like Chris is in the wrong here. And then also just like, it's kind of one, she's one of those people too, where like, you know, it's like, oh, I feel like you could be right if you said this in a different way. If you like, if yeah. you made the argument and you went about your, like the way you moved in the world better.
Yeah.
You could get me, but I don't like the way you say things. So I don't agree with like then the decisions you
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I struggled to like Chris for the most, like for pretty much all of it, especially when they leave behind Barry.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was yeah. heartbreaking. And especially yeah. because you're just going to be alone then. Like usually this sort of rough around the edges, dictator sort of leader, usually at the very least they're loyal to their group. But I just felt like you're going to leave this kid behind. Like you're the sole member of your group who is left. You're just going to leave him behind. That broke my heart in a way where I was like, so unforgiving of Chris at that point.
Yeah,
but
just to compare, like, I mean, I think the point of this show, and clearly with the sort of last scene of the show in which she's only going to survive because there seemingly is some sort of alien cult life that is able to get to her yeah. ship and stop her, she would die. And so I think that the show, this is stuff that like will pretty much always work for me. If your message is about needing to work together, like that's what the show was, right? Like everybody needed somebody else. Like nobody got through anything without somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Ursula survives because Sam sacrifices himself. Levi, you know, saves Ozzy. Ursula saves Ozzy, right, to untie her
yep.
after Chris abandons her. Barry saves a lot of people saved Ozzy, but you know, but Chris,
they all saved like, Cayman.
Yeah, Chris, who abandons everybody, was gonna die of thirst and hunger on the ship until the occult alien group yeah. shows up to save her, right? And so that, to me, it's like that will always work for me. I think like that messaging of like stick together.
If you're not
going to
live
out
together, you're going to die alone. Yeah,
that's right.
We ever heard yeah. that before. Similarly, someone who is on his own for most of this journey, if you want to put it that way, is Cayman. And I know we pre-pod, you had mentioned Cayman was your favorite storyline of them.
I think Cayman's maybe just my favorite character. Like, I feel like, I liked Ozzy, but I think there's something to me. So something like Cayman is just so stuck and was like stuck before. And now is just having to and I really like dark stuff. So it's like, oh, someone who's trapped in their own dark thoughts and memories and nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, he basically pre Vesta. He was struggling with his job, which yeah. was also resulting in struggling with his wife, Fiona, yeah. who he sees so many times, right? And the yeah. fact those reflective glasses, that was such a good point or a good yes. choice for them to make.
Yeah.
And so he like connects with Hollow, this like really like cute at first, tiny little creature, but it's also like telepathic, telekinetic. And the biggest moment for me was like Cayman starts like sacrificing things, like killing things, bringing sacrifices to Hollow, getting Hollow to be bigger and stronger. And Hollow basically manipulates Cayman. At one point, there is a person who comes to save Cayman, recognizes Cayman, immediately gets its neck snapped by the Hollow, which yeah. was horrifying. Yeah. But Cayman's story for me, I struggled with it sometimes because it was so weird. And like I just struggled with like, what exactly is happening? I couldn't always tell. Like, I knew they were visions that he was having. But I guess in my mind, I was also wondering, like, are these real? Like, are these flashbacks? Like, are these memories? Are these things that happened to him that he is now remembering as a result of the Hollow? You know, yeah.
People really don't like Cayman from my research that I have seen. I find oh, really? Him much more sympathetic than I think a lot of people give him. There's a lot of stuff. There is evidence to prove that he's just in such a bad headspace. Like, I think it's like pretty clear that he causes the crash, even if the crash is like
yeah.
probably, you know, at the extent of like
he like did something like underhanded, and that was what got them what caused them to crash.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, bad, but also I think, I don't know. I think this is, it's such an interesting person who succumbs to this type of behavior. I think is what I think it's the most interesting character examination of anybody in the show. I think of somebody, and again, the way like somebody like that is treated and how that can basically just reinforce your own low self-esteem issues, like the way he's treated by Sam, basically. I don't think like Cayman isn't at fault, but also I do think there's like a different approach that might work for somebody like Cayman, but he's so like, it's all just unraveling for him. And so he is like hypnotized, but there's an argument to be made also that like, he's not completely hypnotized the first time he needs to go do it. So why does he like succumb to this? Like, it does seem like you might be able to like, I mean, anybody else who's like there, like is able to fend off mm-hmm. the like lure, but it's specifically this guy who is not getting, I kind of see him as like an, he's like an, like not an incel, but like pretty close, you know, like a very like toxic of like,
yeah,
I needing suppose... attention and effect. And so he gets it from the weirdest thing possible, from this creature that feeds him black goo. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I did read, so the one of the co-creators, Bennett, had said Cayman's presence has introduced human greed and gluttony into this animal kingdom. And if we're going to view the show as, there's so many parasites in every storyline, right? Like Sam is infected with a parasite. I thought that Ursula was. Levi is infected in one way with a parasite. It turns out to be a helpful parasite. Mm-hmm. Cayman, while we could say like Hollow influences Cayman, like it wasn't until Cayman started killing things and sacrificing them to Hollow that Hollow became dangerous. Like right. In a lot of ways, I mean, we could look at the show in so many ways of like a commentary on global warming and how humans are ruining the planet, right? Like humans are actively destroying the planet we live on. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you bring a bunch of humans to a foreign planet, it upsets the ecosystem. And I feel like Hollow is the biggest example of that, because before Cayman was introduced to Hollow, Hollow was just an innocent little blobby guy, you know, like very teeny tiny cute little blobby guy. Not until Cayman started influencing everything did Hollow become a big scary blobby guy. So to me, it feels like that is another lens at which to look it through of like, wow, humans screw everything up. They pretty much ruin everything they touch. If the world was allowed to just live and breathe on its own, probably would have been fine. If Vesta would have been fine, the ecosystem would just got really upset when these humans were thrown into it, you know?
But the thing I think I like them is like, I think it's also looking at like the behaviors that have led to that like destruction or chaos. Like I do think Cayman's like actions, even from before he was on the ship, are like more so built out of like selfishness and like impulse than like he's actively trying, like, and you know, what's he trying? He's just trying to get by. And then when he is on the planet, it's like, this is also how he can survive. And even when he's noticing that it is not good things that happen because of Hollow, I also love the name Hollow, because I think it's like, what are you actually getting from Hollow? No, literally nothing. It's literally Hollow. You're not getting anything for, you're not actually mm-hmm. getting any real satisfaction or good from working with this creature. Other than the ability to just like continue surviving. And at one point that means like literally surviving inside of this attached on umbilical cord. So not great. But as opposed to, and Chris like being selfish too. And like just a bit, as opposed to these people work together. I think Ursula is maybe one of the better examples of this, of like stopping to look and see what is this thing doing, to see how then it impacts what you're able to do or how you're able to move forward. And so I don't think the show says like humans, like by the end they're building a colony, and maybe that colony is like also completely destructive to
who knows what the baby Levi's will do to the ecology of this place, right?
Yeah. So but I think that there is ways in which like specific type of people and behavior, and for me Chris and Cayman exemplify them both the best, which is that when you do it out of selfishness, out of greed, out of like a surviving at any means necessary, that's bad and actually won't work. It won't do you any good. So mm-hmm.
I the more I talk about it, the more I liked this.
I know. I feel the same too.
I just think it's something that should be like watched and sat with a little more and possibly like rewatched, right? Like if this show does have a season two, I hope it does. I will be honest and say I hope it does, because I would be fascinated to see what a season two would look like for the show. I would watch it, and I think I would rewatch season one before season two, just to like feel like I really let everything sink in, you know.
I think the release schedule of Scavengers Reign, which was I think 2 to 3 episodes at a time, actually think it's like kind of perfect. Yes. Kind of like the Vox Machina release that's on Prime, but like kind of in batches, because I think watching it all at once was a lot. And I don't know that it's enough there to be weekly, but these little batches of content, they basically get like an hour's worth of content a week, I think is pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Should we get to our superlatives?
Let's do it.
Okay. So as always, let's start with best scene. Gosh. Oh, there are so many. I feel like are you gonna pick a Cayman one? Is there one that stands out to you?
Visually, you know, for as much as I actually now talking through it, I think that the show, there is really good character stuff, but I just think like some of the scenes of just like watching stuff happen, and there's two that stand out for me. So one is the entire scene where like the little frog creature like opens up for Ursula in the wall. I think it's really good. There's also a scene right at the end when like basically like flashes through evolutionary Vesta is also really, really good, of like, and it's like flashing between different creatures, but like showing all sorts of like things that might survive on Vesta. I thought was really cool. I thought visually was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think my favorite scene, because of like the beauty of it, was when Levi is like creating this own little area, and Ozzy is like, why are you doing this? And Levi's just like, I don't know. Like, but it's, look at it, it's pretty. Like I just really like that. I like that philosophy, right? Like of just trying to like, just look at, take a second and look at something just because it's beautiful, like especially nature. Yeah. And again, I really love the character of Levi. So like that was just my best scene. Best character. I think I've already kind of established that. I love Levi's little cute little philosophy. I don't know. Is there as much depth there as other characters? No, but
at one point, it's blown to smithereens. There's no depth at all.
I was devastated when Levi died, and I was like, please, no, bring Levi back. Yeah.
It's probably Cayman or Ozzy. Best is the thing that I'm hung up on, because I actually think Cayman might be the most interesting character, but Ozzy's probably my favorite character, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Worst character?
Probably Chris. Gotta be Chris.
Yeah. Right? I'm with you. Chris is the worst.
I mean, and again, I don't want to, like, I think Chris's thing serves maybe a point to the show. So in some ways I'm trying to think if there's somebody else, but I don't know. There's not really many people on the show. Hollow's pretty bad. I don't like
Hollow's pretty bad.
Yeah, Hollow's pretty bad.
Hollow's pretty bad. Best death for you, Grace.
Oh, the Levi death is the best. And I think it's also why, like, I like the idea of the biological, you know, and the robot, you know, mixing together. But I just thought it was like, I was like, oh my God. And like, what episode does Levi die? Like,
it's early, four, five?
Yeah, four or five. Early. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's so good. Cause I really like, and so it's like a little bit like, they brought him back. So I'm trying to think if there's anybody else.
It's a robot. You can rebuild it. I'll bring up some other deaths just so you have them in your mind. We have Sam, who kind of rips out the parasite, which I thought was really cool. Crunches it in his hand. You know, that's pretty badass. Hated that skin flap. Never again do I need to see that. There's also, and I don't remember his name, the guy who meets up with Cayman and then basically has like a crucifixion moment because of Hollow, and Hollow just completely snaps his neck.
Is that Charlie? I think might it's be Charlie. Charlie. Yeah, that one's pretty good. It's pretty ruthless. I'll go through who I just found out is played by Aaliyah Shawkat. I didn't know that.
And Terrence, who is consumed by a plant. With the tape recorder thing.
I just go most like last week I was like, oh my God, they did it. And I kind of felt that same with Levi, even though Levi does come back. I think I'll have to go with Levi.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Sam. I because Levi comes back. So I also want to be different. And I just think I liked the visual way they did Sam's and having him under this huge tree, and he rips out the parasite and then he crunches it, and he has, and you see all these other little creatures just kind of like wandering around. Yeah. I don't know. I really liked it.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Sam's death. And then our superlative.
Oh, show that most affirms Dr. Amanda's right about hating space.
Yeah. I think it's show that confirms that if I were to end up in some sort of jungle, like I definitely would be one of the first ones dead, because I would see a cute creature and be like, oh, look at you, you're so cute. And then I would die.
It's funny, because every time when people are like, you know, like, oh, would you survive on an alien ship? Would you, you know, there's a zombie apocalypse. It's like, no, I have diabetes and need insulin, so I'm dying immediately. I'm like, we have to get to a pharmacy. I'm like, it's overrun by zombies. They're like, well, then I'm going to die. So, you
know. See, I would be like, I'd be so screwed. I'm like, where's my anxiety meds? I don't have them. I'll just go cry in that corner. Wake me up when it's over.
I just need to see an alien, like a space show where they're just like, someone's like cracking open a Diet Coke. And I'm like, then I could survive probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I presume maybe in the world where we've advanced the technology enough that we travel to far distant planets, perhaps they can make my pancreas work. So I don't know.
I mean, maybe. Here's to the future. theme song ranking. This theme song is so interesting to me because it is almost not at all like what the show is, right? The show is terrifying and dark, but also beautiful. And this theme song is like very like majestic, very quiet, understated. Tranquil is another word I would use.
Yeah, I gotta.
But the visuals are dark. I don't know. I will say, Grace, I never skipped it.
I also didn't skip it, but I also don't find it super memorable. Like I'm trying to be like, what did I skip? I feel like it came up at different in the episode sometimes. Oh, I have it here. It's like when the Demeter is like falling apart, right?
Yeah, it's like showing like things getting blasted in space. But it's just like a very quiet, tranquil song.
I do like it. I still don't know that it's like,
it's not unskippable for me, even though I didn't skip it. I don't think it's like such a bop that it falls in that tier. I would probably put it in the second tier, which is pretty good.
Oh, I think the Fall of Festive Usher is way. Yeah. I was going to say memorable or fine, like the bottom of memorable or the top of fine probably. But you could go high for memorable.
Bodies is at the bottom of memorable.
I think it's way better than For All Mankind, which is like, we're talking similar space shows.
Yeah. Okay.
No, sorry. I think For All Mankind is better. I think For All Mankind is better than it.
And I think Julia fit the tone of the show better. I might put it above Bodies, below Julia.
So you're putting it in memorable.
Memorable. Yeah, Scavenger's Reign. Yeah. It's just like interesting. It was an interesting choice. All right. That's where we have it. So it is falling in the memorable category. As for what's next, we're switching gears back over to Netflix. We have an Australian coming of age television limited series, Boy Swallows Universe.
7 episodes. They're a little on the long. They're like between 50 and an hour, I think, 50 minutes and an hour. I'm very excited. This has Travis Fimmel in it, which I actually thought like Scavenger's Reign actually reminded me a little bit of Raised by Wolves, sort of a cult PSR classic. So yeah, Netflix show. It dropped all on January 11th, so it's all available to watch, and we'll cover it. It's based on a semi-autobiographical novel of the same name. So check it out.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out. So that is going to be next week.
I think it's our third Australian show.
We're covering a lot of Aussie stuff, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, as a reminder, don't forget to subscribe. pusherecaps.com/full-spoiler-recaps. And until next time, Grace, what do you have going on?
So covering True Detective here on Post Show Recaps, Dr. Mann and I got together for the recap of episode 4. You and I, Jess, will be getting together to do the deep dive on that episode. I thought it was very good, although seeing that it's maybe the most controversial episode of the season so far in terms of polarized feedback from the episode. So check that out. On Post Show Recaps Theater, Aaron and I will be talking about Argyle. So yeah, you'll definitely want to listen to us talking about Argyle, I think. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's it, I think, for now. I'm on social media @HiFromGrace.
You can find me at the Jess Sterling. Beyond the stuff Grace already mentioned, I'm over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Felicity, both of which I am enjoying oh so much. Buffy, we're in season one, and it is very much, as people described it, like a little campy, a little cheesy, but I kind of love it because I love 90s stuff, and sometimes 90s stuff is so campy and cheesy. So definitely check those things out. And yeah, until next time, you've been fully spoiled.
You can fully recap.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.